It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Today we're going to talk about the championship week for the USFL. The rebirth of the Spring Professional Football League called the USFL is almost over. After 10 weeks of regular season games by the league's 8 teams, all games played in Birmingham, Alabama, by the way, the season draws down to a close this Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Central on Fox. The South Division champion Birmingham Stallions, now 10-1, will face the Philadelphia Stars, now 7-4, from the North Division. The Stars pulled the big upset last weekend by taking out the North Division regular season champion New Jersey Generals 19-14. Birmingham had little trouble downing the error-prone New Orleans Breakers, who dropped to 6-5, by a final score of 31-17 to reach that championship game Sunday night. And just like the Super Bowl, the USFL is playing that championship football game on a Sunday night. Now, I think that Sunday night television viewership will show the league and its supporters just how viable this new league is or is not after a full season of play. As I've reminded you throughout the USFL's first season, Fox Sports owns 100% of the new football league. Before the first week of play, Fox Sports stated that they would consider the USFL to be a success if the average weekly television audience averaged 1.5 million television viewers or more. Well, that did not happen. Though the first weekend of USFL's football games did have an average television audience of more than that 1.5 million mark, the league's average audience decreased slightly every weekend after that. And the final week of the regular season in Week 10 failed to have one single game attract more than 650,000 viewers. Last weekend's semifinal playoff games did not exactly light up the TV viewership scoreboard either. The opening game last Saturday afternoon on Fox between the Stars and the Generals netted 957,000 viewers. And then the second semifinal game, which came in primetime on NBC between the Birmingham Stallions and New Orleans Breakers, drew 998,000 viewers on Saturday night. Now, I'm sure that the league was hoping to draw more than 1 million viewers for both of these semifinal games. On the bright side, the USFL was competitive with the meager viewership totals of other sporting events last weekend. Here's a few comparisons on the USFL's two semifinal games up against the other televised events last weekend. The largest viewed sports event last weekend was the NHL's Stanley Cup Game 6 on Sunday between Tampa Bay and Colorado on ABC with 5.82 million viewers. Next last weekend was Major League Baseball's Sunday night game between the Dodgers and Braves on ESPN, 1.73 million. Then came the Formula One auto racing on Sunday on ESPN for 1.72 million viewers. Then it was the College World Series game number one on Saturday night on ESPN for 1.63 million fans. And then in the number five and number six slots come the USFL. The fifth-rated program last weekend was the semifinal between Birmingham and New Orleans on Saturday, NBC, at 998,000, and the sixth-rated sports show last weekend was the USFL other semifinal between the Philadelphia Stars and the New Jersey Generals on Saturday on Fox at 957,000. Then, coming after that was auto racing on CBS, the Superstar Racing Experience on Saturday with 951,000, pro golf on Sunday at the Hartford Open on CBS, 850,000. Then it was auto racing, the NASCAR version in Nashville on the USA Network at 800,000 viewers. UFC's Fight Night on Saturday on ESPN drew 672,000. The Premier Lacrosse League, yes, lacrosse, on Saturday on ABC pulled 452,000 viewers. And coming up last, the WNBA on ESPN, 300,000 viewers. Now, the NHL's viewership for Stanley Cup Game Number 6 was expected to be the top draw last weekend. The College World Series game number one between Oklahoma and Ole Miss was also expected to be a chart topper. Yes, the ratings for the two USFL playoff games last weekend were competitive with most of the other scheduled sporting events of the weekend. However, the USFL predicted that American football fans would salivate for the chance to watch any kind of professional football during the spring months. That claim has now been officially disproven as of July 2022. No! The USFL's on-field product was solid all season long. The waning fan interest shown by the television viewership every weekend speaks louder than the hype we heard from the USFL and all the hopeful media before this season started. No, the USFL was not an overnight success, but it certainly was not a bust like other recent attempts at spring professional football have been. If you read my column last week about the USFL, I gave the new league an average overall score of C for year number one. For the USFL's impressive level of play on the field and the network television coverage, I gave it a B score. However, playing in front of a nearly empty football stadium in Birmingham and the inability to generate any excitement for a team not named Birmingham should have been expected by Fox Sports 2 when they play all the games in Birmingham, Alabama. So this was kind of a meh year for me for the new USFL. If the USFL decided to quietly fade away before the second season began, I doubt that the average sports fan is even going to care. Fox Sports operated this league as cheaply and professionally as possible. They were very, very smart, I think. Whether the USFL's first season was a money loser for Fox Sports will be the subject for another day. I also give the USFL a lot of credit for completing its entire slate of Season 1 games with a very quality on-field football product. The league's players are quite talented, though not quite ready for the NFL, and they always played hard. The USFL was worthwhile viewing for those of us who simply craved watching any type of professional football on TV after the NFL went on vacation. So why didn't more people watch the USFL this spring? My answer? Because every sport has a season, and professional football is no exception.
Yes!
Having watched at least one USFL football game every weekend for the entire season, the USFL's product was good enough on the field to satisfy my needs to watch spring professional football. I just never developed a passion for any particular USFL team, which would make me want to come back and tune in next weekend during year number one. And even though the Birmingham Stallions had a coach I knew, Skip Holtz, and a quarterback, Jamar Smith, who came from Louisiana Tech, my alma mater, I never developed that must-see feeling that I must watch Birmingham play every single weekend. The USFL is an 8-team league. Most of the games, perhaps because of the mostly empty stadium for any game not involving a Birmingham team, felt like I was watching an NFL preseason game every weekend. The players are quite good, but I never developed that feeling of, wow, I gotta really see this guy every week, attitude toward anyone in the league. So let's face it, football is a great sport to watch when the temperatures are cooling down in the fall and into the winter. Football is not such a great sport to watch when the outdoor temperatures are rising toward 90 degrees by the middle of the spring in the South. And staying inside to watch a spring sporting event instead of going outside to enjoy other activities requires a lot of dedication from your average sports enthusiast. By not having each of its teams playing games in their own home city's football stadium, that definitely hurt the USFL in its ability to grow a fan base around the country. However, the high cost associated with having the 8 USFL teams playing games in separate football facilities with separate staffs has been proven to be economic suicide for several other attempts at spring football. So I applaud Fox Sports for trying to see if the USFL could work in their very creative cost containment environment during this first season. So if the USFL plays again next spring, how should they grow the league? Well, I have an idea. Let's say, for this example, that the USFL would be able to increase its weekly television audience by, let's say, 50%. If the league plays 1 week's worth of games in the home football stadium of every USFL city during the regular season. If the USFL kept its administrative office, the practice facilities, and even the players' home base in Birmingham, Alabama, that's fine. The league could simply pack them all up and travel to play all 4 of the weekend slate of games in a different USFL home market and football stadium every weekend. There would be some cost savings with the consolidation of travel cost and stadium logistics. Each different USFL city would get, finally, a week to shine in the national spotlight and host all 4 weekend football games in the same market. This idea is very similar to wrestling's WWE. Woo! The wrestling company transports its own ring, the referees, the wrestlers, and its television production crew to a different city and arena for events nearly every week. The USFL could use a similar model. Would the added cost of getting the entire league to fly to a different city every weekend cost the USFL and its owner, Fox Sports, more money than they would incrementally make on advertising revenue gained by having increased television ratings? I think it would absolutely cost more than they would receive on the other side. We already know that this idea was likely to be a money loser. However, the league could be able to identify which of those eight USFL cities have the most supportive fans by trying this idea, too. And don't forget that the USFL is going to have some competition in its second year of operation, assuming there is a year number two. The third incarnation of the XFL. This is the XFL! Will take place next February, beginning the week after the NFL Super Bowl leaves the big stage. The XFL's television package is with the ESPN family of outlets, including ABC. The XFL will compete for viewers against the NCAA's college basketball season and also the March Madness tournament as well. And at last report, the XFL is planning to play all of their weekly games in the home cities of each football team. As the XFL should have learned by its own previous attempts at playing a spring football schedule, the cost of playing home games in different cities is very, very expensive. And it's the primary reason why most other spring football leagues folded. This new XFL version number 3 should be also concerned about the less than impressive television ratings posted this year by the USFL. The XFL's history is already questionable. The XFL has folded operations twice before, and football fans have every reason to be suspicious of this latest incarnation of the XFL coming next February. Meanwhile, the USFL has already signaled that they intend to keep the same April-May-June football schedule if they do return for year number two. There's one big problem there, though. There's no evidence to believe that spring football fans will be able to support two different football leagues next year. I don't think that the USFL's television ratings justify a second year of operation. Perhaps the USFL, Fox Sports, is hoping to cut a deal with the NFL to make the USFL into the official developmental league. That would make sense and be a very smart idea if they could work out the details. So in summary, I say, congratulations to the USFL and the hearty fans in both Birmingham, Alabama and Canton, Ohio for the playoffs for providing an entertaining first year of spring professional football. It was fun, but it never developed into must-see football TV either. And don't be surprised if Fox Sports decides to close the checkbook after the USFL's first season ends this weekend. A successful business model for spring professional football simply does not exist. It's time to end the charade. It doesn't work. America does not have an untapped sports market willing to line up and pay for stadium tickets or even to watch spring football games at home on television. The USFL's year number one has just proven that. No one could operate a spring football league as professionally or cheaply as the USFL just did. Professional football has one true season, and it is definitely not during the spring. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.